word with you today. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. You can follow along with someone who did bring their Bible, and that'll be good for you this morning. But Psalm 103 is where we'll be looking this morning. We want to look at the first five verses of this particular chapter. We sing the chorus there this morning, "Bless the Lord," and that's how this psalm starts off. Psalm 103, and let's start with verse number 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Again, note verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We want to look at those here in just a few moments. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank You for the power of Your Word. Thank You for the many benefits. Some of those are listed for us right here in this text. But the many benefits that You give to us for being in Your family, and help us this morning to understand these benefits and appreciate those and be able to say with the psalmist, "Praise the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul." In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 103, we're looking at the first five verses of this particular chapter this morning. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." David Livingston, back in the 1800s, was a pioneer missionary to Africa. And in 1866, he went deep into the jungles with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody knew where he was, and then finally, in 1871, he emerged. He was so emaciated. He was pale, did not look good, did not look well. And upon his discovery, aid was promised, and in 1872, aid came. And he said these simple words that are written in this text, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." In this chapter, David praises the Lord. He said in Psalm 34 and verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." What words come from your mouth? For David, he said, his praise unto God would continually come forth at all times from my mouth. And this praise unto the Lord was very personal with David, because in verse number 1 he says that all that is within me bless His holy name. If you would, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he says, all that is within me, I am going to praise the Lord. Now why? What was it about David, and what was it about David's God that David found in God that he could just say, "I'm going to praise the Lord at all times"? Well, he lists for us in this context of Scripture some benefits, because he talked about in verse number 2 the fact that we have been given benefits, and we as God's people are not to forget all His benefits. And so he gives us six of them, beginning at verse number 3, down through verse number 5. And as you listen this morning, I want you to use, as Brother Glenn said this morning in his lesson this morning, use your sanctified imagination and think about, if you would here, various rooms that he takes us to, and it helps us appreciate and understand these benefits. For instance, in verse number 3, he takes us to the courtroom and forgives your sin. Now think about this. The Bible says in the passage, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Iniquities is another word for sin. And the Bible tells us that as we go into this courtroom, we are all declared guilty. Every one of us, from me, starting with me, with everyone in this congregation, everyone outside of this building, yea, throughout the world, the Bible declares that we are all guilty before God. For instance, in Romans 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man likes to think of themselves as pretty good. I'm all right. We sort of measure ourselves up to someone else. And sometimes people can say something like this, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, that may be true in your thinking, but spiritually the Bible says that we are all guilty before God. All of us have sinned, and all of us are in need of a Savior. And so in this courtroom we step, and the Bible declares us all guilty before God. In fact, in Romans 3 and verse 19, it says that all the world becomes guilty before God. Before I could ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I had to admit something, that I was a sinner. That means that I have sinned before a holy and a righteous God who is without sin. And that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, who also lived without sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And here in this passage of Scripture, He says that He forgives us of all of our sin. He forgives us all of our iniquities. In that same courtroom where He has declared us guilty, He then declares this, that we can be forgiven of our sin. Because in verse number 12 of this passage, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And so when our sins are forgiven by God, they are not brought back up against us. They are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast as far as the east is from the west. We are forever forgiven. There ought to be a big amen on that one. Oh, that was lame, church. We are forgiven, amen. We are forgiven children of God. And our sin is not held against us. But think about this, we weren't always in that state. Before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were lost. The Bible uses the word unsaved. The Bible uses the word lost. The Bible uses the word guilty before God. And we had no way of saving ourselves. We could have gone through baptism. We could have gone through a church membership. We could have gone through this or could have gone through that. But the Bible declares plainly that in the courtroom, we are guilty before God, but there is only one, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins can be forgiven. And forgiveness is like, if you would, a blank sheet of paper that when you are forgiven of your sin, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you then, by God's grace, are made a new creation in Jesus Christ. And now a new chapter begins in your life. You are a new creature. You now are headed on the road to heaven, not because of who you are, not because you belong to a church, but because you put your faith and trust in the only one that could forgive you of your sin, and that is through the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, it's great to be forgiven. Forgiven of all of your sin. So I ask you this morning, have you truly ever been forgiven of all of your sin? Have you ever come to that point in your life where you realize, I am guilty before God. I have violated His law. I can't keep the Ten Commandments. You begin to try to keep those, and there is no one on the face of the earth today who has kept all of the Ten Commandments. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But then Jesus says, to think upon a person with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. Then the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Now, I hate to admit it, but I have lied in my life. So I'm guilty of the law. And so all of those things reveal that I am a sinner, but I cannot save myself. And so I have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And he is the one in that courtroom who is able to stand up and say, yes, he's guilty, but I gave my life for him. I shed my blood for him so that his sins could be forgiven. Praise God, I'm able to walk out of that courtroom and be able to say along with the psalmist that he has forgiven me of all of my sins. All of them. And sometimes people think I could never come to the Lord because of what I have done in my life. But thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And so we find in this passage that David says, I'm going to bless the Lord because he has forgiven me. He takes us to that courtroom and forgives our sin. From there, he takes us to the hospital and heals all of our diseases. Look now, if you would, at verse number 3, where he says, who healeth all thy diseases. You think about a hospital for a moment. The hospital is where sick people come. Hurting people come. Broken people come, and bruised people come. Those are the kinds of people that come to a hospital. And if you would, church is likened unto a hospital. I think sometimes church people forget this. Sometimes we think that church is just for those who dress in a nice suit and maybe wear nice clothes, and we all come to church and we all talk the same and we look the same, and woe unto those that come in through the door and look different than we do. May I remind you, church, this is a hospital for broke, bruised, and broken people who need the Lord. And we find that in this context of Scripture, he says here, he heals all thy diseases, and one of the greatest diseases of mankind is the sin disease. And sometimes when we think about the healing of the Lord, may I say that he heals immediately. 2 Samuel chapter 12, when David is confronted by Nathan over his sin of murder and of adultery. And we find in the context when he is confronted, then David is able immediately to just experience the forgiveness of the Lord. He experienced, if you would, that healing, that forgiveness of his sin. Then you find in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 23 that sometimes he heals in a process. Sometimes we will pray for people to be healed, and sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. And the Bible says that in this body we do groan, being burdened. We're waiting for the adoption. We're waiting for the deliverance of our body, that one day we will have a new body as a child of God. That will be the ultimate healing. And here David says, not only has he forgiven me of all my iniquities in the courtroom, but in the hospital he has healed all of my diseases. And so he says, bless the Lord, praise the Lord. Notice now in verse number 4, he then takes you to the slave quarters and sets you free. Because he says now in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Consider this. The Bible says that in sin we were born, and if you would, we are enslaved by sin. But there is one that can set us free from the power of sin, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said in his own words, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And here David says that he has redeemed my life from destruction. Consider this. There is not only a place called heaven, but there is a place called hell. All people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, who do not receive him as their personal Savior, who do not repent of their sin and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will one day, sadly, go to a place called hell. Well, you say, well, that doesn't sound very loving, but remember this, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then verse 36 of that same chapter, he that believeth on the son, when you believe on the son, you will not abide under the wrath of God, but you will be delivered from the wrath of God. You see, when someone says, I've had people tell me this, breaks my heart when I hear people. I don't hear it often, but I'll hear sometimes some sarcastic guy say something like this. Ah, who cares if I go to hell? I'll be there with my friends and it'll be one big party. I've had people say that, and I've looked them right in the eye and said, sir, you're so mistaken. If you die without Jesus, it will not be a big party. It will be a place of eternal torment. And I say that with a broken heart as I talk to them, because they think if I die and go to hell, what's the big deal? If hell was nothing else, here is what hell is: being eternally separated from God. So there is a place called hell, but hold it. There is a place called heaven. You see, in this passage, he says, he's redeemed thy life from destruction. I was, as a 9-year-old boy, on my road to hell, but praise God, because of his grace, today I'm on the road to heaven. He has redeemed my life from destruction. Not because I'm a pastor, not because I was raised in a good home, but because I put my faith and trust in Jesus alone. Now turn to Psalm 40. You have your Bibles there. Look in Psalm 40 and verse number 2 and verse number 3. Notice what he says here. He's speaking of God here, and he says, he has brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. He is saying, hold it, God has delivered me from that pit of destruction. I'm no longer on that road. Praise God, I'm on the road to heaven. And no wonder he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, the benefit of being delivered from the slave quarters of sin and being set free through Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord. Notice now in verse number 4 as well, he takes us to the throne room and he crowns us. Look at this now, where he says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. What does he crown us with? You see, think about this. I trust you've been able to follow the progression in this chapter. Courtroom, I'm guilty. Same courtroom, I'm forgiven of my sin. Now I'm a child of God. Now as a child of God, he crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Look, if you would, at verse number 8. The Lord is merciful. Verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. You see, the Bible teaches us that the mercy of God is something that is everlasting, and the Lord is merciful. As far as the heaven is high above the earth, so is his mercy toward them that fear him. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What is that indicating? That my heavenly Father daily is crowning me with loving kindness and tender mercy. Jeremiah said it this way, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. What does that mean? Well, you think about mercy for a moment. Mercy is something that God gives to us, but mercy is something whereby God withholds something that we do deserve. What do I deserve? I hear people say this quite often. Well, if I got what I really deserved, I'd die and go to hell. But do you know what keeps you from there? The mercy of God. The mercy of God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And we find in this passage that he takes us to that throne room and he crowns us, if you would, daily with his loving kindness and tender mercy. And from there, then, he takes us to the banquet room and satisfies us. Look in verse number 5, where he says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." He satisfies us. In the banquet room, you will find him as the water of life, and you'll thirst no more. In the banquet room, you will find him as the bread of life, and you'll hunger no more. In the banquet room, church, you will find him more than sufficient. Because in Psalm 23 and verse number 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Catch this statement if you would. He gives you everything you need and everything you don't need. Let me repeat that. Don't know that you got it. Think about it. He gives you everything you need and everything you don't need. Let me give that to you another way. He gives you surplus. That's what David's saying here. Bless the Lord, I forget not all of his benefits. Now think about this. He saved us, praise God, but that's not the only benefit from knowing God, from knowing Jesus Christ. He's loadeth us with daily benefits. And we find in this passage of Scripture that he says that he has taken me to the banquet room and he has satisfied me and he gives me everything I need and everything I don't need. He gives of his surplus. He gives a surplus. This week twice I went to the store. How many of you ladies know it's not always good to send your husband grocery shopping? You give him a list and you look at what he brought home and you think, my, what happened to the list? What did he find? He found all the goodies, all those things that you won't buy him. But anyway, I went to the grocery store this past week and I saw something before I left home. My wife did not ask me for it. But I noticed it and that she was out of this particular bar that she likes to eat. Again, she didn't say anything to me about it, but when I got home, I had placed that before her, and she was so excited that I was thoughtful enough to be able to get that for her. Another time, I went to a store this week, and I went there. I was only going to that store for one thing. I walked out with four things. Now, the reason I walked out with four things, because I saw something there that I thought my baby would really enjoy. And boy, I got them for her, and I had to make sure that they were the right size. They were. But, you know, it was just a small little thing. She didn't ask me for it. But I went home and I gave that to her, along with what we're going to eat today here in just a little bit. And but that I was given to her, that was all surplus. And you know, that's exactly what, how many times have you prayed about something, asked God for something, and have him not only answer that prayer, but give you more than what you asked for? That's God, because he gives you everything you need and everything you don't need. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. We come to the banquet room and there we are satisfied. David says, bless the Lord that I've been to the banquet room and I have found satisfaction. But then he says, I have been to the eagle's nest and I've had my strength renewed. Look now at verse number 5. So thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Annually, eagles go through a molting season. where they, if you would, it's like they get the old feathers cast off, they get the new feathers and so forth. And so this is what the psalmist is speaking of: so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't you wish in reality, just age-wise, that the older we get, the younger we would get? Huh? How many of you would, that works for you, right, Mike? Yeah. Yeah. You know, the older you get, the younger you get. You know, every year you shed off a few pounds, your hair gets back to where it was naturally. You're no longer gray, you're no longer bald, and so forth. And man, what a reformation that would be, that you could just go through that transformation. But we know that's not reality. Reality is that we came into this world, our parents cooed and awed over us, until the first time we said no when they gave us a direction, to the first time we experienced a spanking, to the first time that, you know, all those kinds of things. But then as we were maturing, we began to get muscles and so forth. I'm still waiting for those. I haven't got those yet, but I'm still waiting for them. I used to work out, believe it or not. I used to bench 200 pounds. And to some of you guys, that's nothing. I realize that. But for a little guy like me, 200 pounds, that was really great. And I used to bench. Now, I can't bench that now, but I could back in my younger day. I could run the 100-yard dash in 10 seconds flat. And, man, I love the sprints. I love that. I'll guarantee you I could not do a sprint 10 seconds flat today. Why? Why is all of this going on? Because the Bible teaches us, because of the sin process, we're going to age. We're not, if you would, going to be renewed. We're not going to have this new body in this life now, but praise God, one day when we see Jesus, we will be in the image of Jesus Christ and we will have a new body. And here's what I love about it: I'll sin no more. You won't sin anymore. There will come that day. But right now we sin and we experience the effects of sin. So what does all this mean here then when he says that thy youth is renewed like the eagle? Well, Isaiah 40 and verse 29 says that he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. So here is what he's driving at: that we can come to the eagle's nest, and when we don't seem to have strength to go on anymore, when we seem to be so discouraged and down, when we seem to think, I'm so overwhelmed with the problems and the difficulties of life, that I can go to him and wait upon him, and he renews my strength. It's like the New Testament says that the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing, yes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. So he says, I come to that eagle's nest and I praise the Lord because there I find renewal of strength. I find purpose. I find hope. I find reason to continue on. And so it is no wonder that David ends this psalm with the way he started it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Why? Because he has brought me to the courtroom and has forgiven me of my sin. And he has taken me to the hospital and given me healing. He has taken me to the slave quarters and set me free from sin. He has taken me to the throne room and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has taken me to that banquet room and satisfies me. He has taken me to that eagle's nest and renews me daily. And no wonder he says, praise the Lord, Praise the Lord. No wonder he said, I will bless the Lord at all times because his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so here's what I ask you this morning. Are you full of praise? Do you see these benefits? If this is all there was in the Bible, these five or six right here, may I say, it would be enough for now for us until Jesus comes or he takes us home to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This afternoon, our theme of the afternoon service will be Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we're going to take time to give you an opportunity to praise the Lord for things that God has provided you with and blessings that he has given you. So don't miss out on that service at 1:15. But may I say this morning that God is faithful to us, and we ought to be faithful to him. And we ought to come to that place, as David said, I'm just going to bless the Lord. Everything about me says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Is that how you're living? That's how I want to live. You know what we're so quick and prone to do? We're so quick and prone to complain. We are, aren't we? Boy, we're so quick to do that. People will greet you, and you wonder if they've been baptized in pickle juice. I mean, they just can't seem to smile. They can't seem to, like, you know, hey, you know, life is rough, life is tough. Yeah, life is rough, and sometimes life is tough. But may I say, if you know the Lord, you have one who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, no matter how difficult it gets. You can come out on that other side and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And this morning, may that be what comes forth from our lips. Don't be quick to complain. Be quick to say, praise God, praise God, praise God. In the courtroom, you find forgiveness. Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven of all your sin? Have you come to that place where you realize, you know what? I am guilty before God. I need forgiveness of my sin. I got to go to Jesus because he's the only one that can forgive me of all my sin. If you haven't ever come to Jesus for that forgiveness of sin, come today. Because as he takes you into that slave quarters, he's the only one that can free you from the enslavement of sin. And there's many people in this congregation this morning with a smile on their face that could tell you the greatest decision they ever made was not to join this church, was not to make the decision to come to this church. The greatest decision they ever made was this, to put their faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. That was the greatest decision they ever made in life. They've made a lot of decisions, who they're going to marry, where they're going to work, and all of that. But all those, if you would, are temporary. The one that is eternal is the decision, what will I do with Jesus? Jesus today wants to save you. Jesus wants to forgive you. If you've never come to him for that, won't you come to him today? Won't you put your faith and trust in him and ask him to save you? Child of God today, won't you be like David and say, Lord, I will be more prone this week to praise you than to complain. No matter what comes my way, a slow driver, thank you, Lord. Do you want to slow me down just so I can breathe a little bit? I will stand before you and confess there's times I haven't done that. It's like, come on, I'm ready to go. Then I'm mindful of what one of my friends said. When he gets behind someone that's just flying by, or you know, he's driving down the road and someone just flies by him, he'd often say this, that person should have left earlier. And whenever I see that happen, sometimes that's what I'll say. Though that person can't hear me, I'll just say that person should have left earlier. But then there's other times, man, I'm getting behind someone that's driving 25 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. Like no care in the world. Well, I've got some cares. I got to go take care of those. Move over. But you know what I'm learning to do? I haven't practiced or mastered it. But I'm sure trying to practice it, that when I get behind in that kind of a situation, just say something like this, Lord, thank you. Now, do I maintain going 25? No, I don't. But I just slow down long enough to just say, Lord, thank you. Because, you know, I've had this happen to me one time in life. Maybe you've had it happen. Maybe you haven't. Where I got behind one of those slow drivers. And then a mile up the road, I didn't know, but God knew, there was a bad accident. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, I wonder if that could have been me. If I had just been speeding along in a rush, got to get going where I am. But God put me behind that slow driver. And so when I got onto that accident, I even said, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for your protection in my life. You see, church, we just need to be full of thanksgiving. We need to practice in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray together. Father, now, I praise you for the power of your word. I praise you this morning for the Holy Spirit that helps us, that gives us understanding. We know that you're not willing that any should die without Jesus, but that all should come to repentance. And how I pray this morning for those in this congregation that do not know Jesus as Savior, not sure if they died they'd go to heaven, may today they come to know the Lord Jesus. For those, Father, that know Jesus, help us not only just this time of year, but daily, to let your praise just continually fill our mouth. That we would just praise you and praise you and praise you. As the old song says, we could just never praise you enough. And that's so true. So help us to be mindful that when we are tempted to complain, when we're tempted to gripe, when we're tempted to just say things we ought not to say, help us to slow down long enough to just give you praise and thanksgiving. Fill our mouth with praise unto you. This I ask in Jesus' name, not their heads bowed. Would there be those here this morning who would say, Pastor, I do not know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about where I will spend all of my eternity. Reality is this. We will spend it in one of two places. Heaven with the Lord or hell without the Lord. It's that simple. It's that plain. And it all depends on what you do with Jesus and the life that you have been given. Have you received him as your Savior? Have you repented of your sin? That is, have you turned from your sin and realized that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you? I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who say, Pastor, this is my need. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I really do want to know. I really am concerned about this. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. Pastor, that's my need. Would you lift your hand up right where you're at? I'm not going to come to you. I just want an opportunity to remember you in prayer. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. I'm really concerned about this. I'm really concerned. I realize I'm not going to live forever in this life. But I want to know. I really want to know where I'm going to spend my eternity. Would you remember me in prayer this morning, Pastor? Anybody at all while we wait? Just lift your hand up. I'll acknowledge it. Put it right back down while we wait. Now, child of God, this morning in your life, are you praising the Lord? I wonder this morning, there'd be those here and say, Pastor, I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that I would become a more practicing praiser. I know it's kind of strange English, but I would just practice praise more and more in my life and less complaining. I would that you remember me in prayer, that God will give me victory in that area this week, starting this week, that I would be one that would just be full of praise to the Lord. Would you lift your hand up or up your hand and say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. That's me. Remember me in prayer that I just would be a person that would just be full of praise to the Lord more and more. Yes, God bless you. Or is there someone else this morning? God has challenged your heart. Say, I have so much to praise the Lord for, and I just want to be more and more grateful and give him praise. Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Is there anyone else while we wait? Yes, God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you. And now, Father, I thank you this morning for working in hearts. For these that have said, I need to be more full of praise unto the Lord. Grant them victory. Grant them strength. Grant them help in this area this week. For those that know not the Savior, may they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior before they leave today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.